To NURFM 103.7. Time to have a look at the world of politics, and we do that with the Professor of Politics, Jim Jost. Jim, good morning once
again. Good morning,
mate. While we were sort of, you know, tucked up in bed and preparing for the new day, the Liberal Party were out having an emergency meeting, and it was all about the plebiscite, will we, won't we, same-sex marriage. It's one of those issues that's not going away. What can you tell us about what happened in the meeting?
Well, I don't know that I can tell you what happened inside the meeting, only the outcome.
That'll do. But, that's a good place to start.
To call it an emergency meeting is probably a bit strong. Let's push back from that a little, because the Parliament's about to sit this week, and in the lead-up to the sitting, they have a number of meetings in preparing their agenda. Particularly the government parties need to be on top of what's going on. Yes, and this was one of the issues that was going to push them off being on top, and there was talk that the party might actually go back on what was pushed as an election promise. In and of itself, that's not a big deal either, because parties go to the polls with all sorts of promises, and some of those promises just disappear along the way. So if they abandoned it, they wouldn't be out of the ordinary. However, this particular issue is one that has become very emotive and highly charged. There's multiple issues involved, and if we cross party lines and move to the opposition, there are people in the opposition who are very sympathetic to the views of some of the more conservative forces within the coalition. But it's sort of interesting. It's an issue that, by and large, opinion polls suggest the Australian public is largely in support of, but a small group within the coalition are very vocal and influential and have managed to keep, shall we say, a government line in a way that goes against perhaps that majority, broad majority. The curious thing is, you know, we know that Malcolm Turnbull entered into the leadership battle with a particular position, and by the time that leadership battle was over, he had negotiated his position into something else. And now he's basically stood up and put a position that ran allegedly counter to what people thought where he stood. And this has sort of been the style of his leadership, and one of the big reasons why, as leader, the party itself is in a sort of very negative state with respect to the opinion polls. He's only hanging on by the skin of his teeth in terms of the leadership. He's preferred Prime Minister when compared with Bill Shorten, yet...
So are you.
Well, yes, that's a bit unfortunate for Mr. Shorten. Yeah. The problem that the same-sex marriage issue throws up is there's strong opposition from within his party by a very small number of people.
I think... yes, it is a very emotionally charged issue for many folks, and there's a lot of people with different thoughts on why we should, why we should not. If you sort of step back from the emotion for a moment, I'm from a different view that all sides of government and the opposition decided that we'll go to the election based on the fact that we'll give the people at large a say, and now that seems to be where everybody is pushing, there seems to be, why are we doing this? That seems strange to me. Why do we not just say, yep, when we have our next federal election, there will be a third slice of paper, and that's what we do it that way. It's the cheapest.
Two points there. Coming to that last one you just made about, well, at the next federal election, they could, in fact, have a plebiscite form of question, or they could turn it into a referendum, which is a high risk because referendums seem to fail far more often than they succeed. But if most major parties are supporting it, then a referendum may well get up. That's one way around it. It certainly saves $160 million, which a postal plebiscite or a plebiscite will incur, which seems to be an enormous amount of money for a very small issue, if you like, in terms of the bigger issues facing governments. The question, though, about going to the polls, and everyone was agreed that we're going to do a plebiscite, I think it's fair to say that the Labor Party went along with that so that they wouldn't be seen necessarily as obstructionists.
To be against the idea, yeah.
And the Liberal Party put it up as a strategy to try and snooker Malcolm Turnbull as leader and lock him into a position where the whole issue could be basically quarantined, as it were, in a way that enabled the opponents of same-sex marriage to ensure that they got their way. The question in 2004, when the Howard-led coalition, with many of the same members that are currently in place, legislated to change the Marriage Act in the way that it is now reading, and there was no plebiscite, there was no let's ask the Australian people what they think. It was, we are the Parliament and we have the responsibility and the prerogative to do this. There was no outcry at that point. Now here we are 13 years later, and suddenly some of the very architects of that approach are now standing up and saying, well, we need to go to the people.
I guess, though, Jim, you could argue that what back at that time, yes, different views for a lot of people, but in a way they were locking in something that at that time was pretty much what we have now anyway. This is something that we're looking to make a huge change to.
Well, yes and no. I mean, on the one hand, Mark, we're locking in, that did lock in a sort of traditional approach, and now what's being proposed for 2017 is establishing the formal legal equality for same-sex marriages, putting it on the same basis as heterosexual marriages. And the issue, I think, is to separate. We need to be separating the religious views, the religious issues, which are, you know, quite diverse, and the legal issues around what are the rights of couples in same-sex relationships. And
I don't think anybody would have an argument there.
And that's exactly sort of where it gets cloudy, and the debate that's sort of not happening at the moment is, shall we say, that the government is sort of clouding that debate. And anyway, we won't... let me just wrap that up very quickly. My sort of point is not that one side is right or one side is wrong, but what we're getting is a government that's sort of locking itself into convoluted positions over an issue which, in the scheme of things, is not as important as some of the other things that we expect the government to be dealing with, and they're spending all of this time on an issue that tends to have a broad base of support across the country.
We're not going to solve it in the next 10 seconds, Jim, so we might have to leave it there. I know we'll come back and talk about this again, I'm sure, in the next few weeks.
I'm sure we will, Mark. With a one-seat majority, Mr Turnbull's very precariously balanced.
He's got no choice but to solve it one way or the other. Always an interesting chat with the Professor of Politics from the University of Newcastle, Jim Jost, here at 2NURFM 103.7.